Tonight, this study is on a subject that sometimes can be a little confusing or maybe just, we could keep it simple. And if you keep it simple, it's no problem, you know. And so, and look at the word, it's no problem. But it's one of those things like the Trinity that you try to explain. It's the Trinity of man, that man is also a triune being. And we are body, soul, and spirit. Just like God is, we're made in his image. You know, it's just really neat when you see those kinds of things passed on. But 1 Thessalonians 5:23, y'all could turn there. We'll look up a few of these scriptures. Some I'll just mention to you. But 1 Thessalonians 5:23 mentions that triune being of man. He says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It also mentions in other scriptures, 1 Corinthians 2:11 says, "For what knoweth..." Can't read my handwriting. "For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him?" So it's talking about the spirit of man that's in him. Besides the, you know, aside from the Holy Spirit, man has a spirit. Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is quick and powerful, and it says it pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. So it's talking about the word of God coming in and really giving discernment to separate the two, to show you what's in your heart, what's in your spirit. And then 1 Peter 2 also talks about fleshly lust that war against the soul. And so the body, the Bible speaks of man being a triune being. So that's kind of just a little bit of the start of what I want us to study tonight. At the fall in Genesis, upon the entrance of sin into man's life, the spirit, the soul, and the body became separated from God. God made Adam in his image, spirit, soul, body. But then sin comes in, and in the garden, at the fall of man, and it separates us from God. Let's look at a few scriptures in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. None of these are on your sheet, so this is just extra. Romans 5, verse 12. We're going to skip through a few scriptures. But with the thought of sin coming in, Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world," and it's talking about Adam. We see that in a minute. "And death by sin," so death entered by sin, "so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." And then it goes on in verse 14, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgressions." Even I might not have sinned like Adam did, but I've sinned. I mean, sin reigned in my life before Christ, who is the figure of him that's to come. And then verse 17, "If by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they that receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life." I think it's very clear, and there's more scriptures that we could look at, that when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, death came in. Sin came in, and death came in because of their disobedience. And not just to them, but passed to all men. And this is something I think I'm sure you've known and heard, but the Bible teaches, that's what it teaches us. By one man entered death by sin, death passed to all men, for all have sinned, and it reigned. It was king, it was Lord. Death was. From Adam to Moses, judgment came upon all to condemnation. And it's talking about Moses because that's where the law came in. And then the law came in and revealed what sin was and made it even exceedingly more sinful. Only through Jesus, like we read, does life come, does justification come, freedom come from condemnation. The wages of our sin was death. Man died, spirit, soul, and body. Our bodies are dying right now. you know, we're not going to live forever in this body. When, I mean, you're born, and we might grow, but our body is hindered. And so even if we might say, well, our body's still on earth, no, it's dying still. The process is, you know, is in place. So our spirit became separate. To die is to be separated from God. Our spirit was separated from God, and our soul was separated from God. The body we were born with could only serve sin and no longer serve God. There was separation and alienation from the Most High God. Ephesians 4:18 talks about that. It says our, let's look at that, Ephesians 4:18. And we're going to look at a couple of definitions, too, that I put on your sheet. In fact, I'll probably we'll stop it after we read this scripture and look at those. Ephesians 4:18. Talking about other Gentiles, and we're Gentiles. We're not Jews. Well, if Miss Connor was here, she's Jewish. But most of us, unless I don't, and no, any different, but we're Gentiles. Verse 18, comparing to other Gentiles, having the understanding darkened, their deep mind darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. And it goes on. We're going to read this scripture a little bit later. But that's a picture of a man who's in sin, a lost person, a Gentile, walking in his darkened understanding. And not that I love it, but it's really interesting that word alienated means a non-participant in the life of God. You are not, as before we're saved, we are not able to participate in the life of God. We're aliens and strangers to it. And we can't even communicate. I remember a long time ago someone giving this illustration. It's probably Lee, but I mean, he's been my preacher now for a long time, 38 years. But, you know, it's like at a funeral, if a man's lying in the casket dead, you know, his body's dead, but his soul and his spirit, they're not there anymore. It's just a body. And if you go up and you poke it with a pin, it's not going to respond to you. It's dead to you. And that's how we are when we're not born again, before our new birth. We can't respond to God. We can't. We're dead to our spirit, our soul, our body. So so thankful what God did and that he loved us so much that he wanted to have a relationship with us. But look at a few of the definitions you have at the top of your page. Under helpful definitions, spirit, soul, and body, I put there. I think it's interesting that body, what does it say for the word body? Soma, what do y'all think of right away?
Underwear.
I do too. All right, so like the store, Soma, must be where they got the name for that. But anyway, it just means body. All right, so nothing deep, nothing crazy, just body. Your physical body. Back to the top, the spirit is the vital principle which animates the body, the disposition of influence which fills and governs the soul of anyone, the efficient source of any power, affection, emotion, and desire. So in me and in myself, oh yeah, ladies, I'm sorry, this is what I added in there. If you didn't get your... I did text you, but I don't know if you got that part, or email you. Sorry. Yeah, it's still one page. Well, front, yeah. A little bit on the back. And I reordered some things.
It's okay.
I'll tell you. Okay. So anyway, if you look at that definition and just think about what it means to have a spirit that's dead to God, if it's going to animate my body, if it's going to influence my soul, but it's dead to God, what kind of influence is it going to give? It's not going to give godly influence or holy influence or pure or anything. It's going to influence me because it's dead to God, influence me for sin. And the soul, the psyche, the breath of life, the vital force which animates the body and shows itself in breathing of men, the soul of men, that in which there is life, the seat of feelings, desires, affections, aversions. The human soul, insofar as it is constituted, that by the right use of the aids offered to by God, can attain its highest end and secure eternal blessings. So our soul, when we respond to what God has given us, which is salvation, then we can attain to that righteousness that comes from him. Our soul is reborn. Our soul is made new. The old man's crucified. That soul's the dead. The old one is crucified on the cross, and we have a new soul that can be live forever with him in heaven. And otherwise, it's to live forever, eternally, without God in hell. The soul is not dissolved by death, all right? So that's spirit, soul, body, all three in one man. And the spirit influences the soul, and our soul directs what we do with our body. So if our soul, our feelings, our emotions, our will, our heart, our desires, that's our soul. I mean, if I want another piece of brownie that I shouldn't get, and I know this is seems like a simple example, but it's like one of my biggest struggles. You know, my soul is lusting after, and it's going to push my body to go over there and get me a brownie. You know what I mean? It drives our body. Our bodies are just here to be used by something. And we want it to be by the Holy Spirit. So those definitions for now, the rest y'all are going to look at when you talk together. But without God, we're aliens from him. We don't participate with God. Our spirits are dead. Our souls are condemned in our trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. Since we're there, let's look back a few chapters. Ephesians chapter 2. And you has, in verse 1, have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past, and he's talking to believers now. So this is, he's talking about your past life before you got saved. Times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom you all had your conversation or your lifestyle in times past, in the lust of your flesh, fulfilling the desires of your flesh and of your mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. So we're born with that sinful, that sin principle, that sinful nature that's come in. And, you know, I've not often thought about this before, but actually Adam didn't have that in him when he was created. That was not part of man's makeup. It wouldn't have been part of my makeup had Adam not sinned. But because of sin entering in, now it becomes part of what I am, part of my makeup, where the prince of the power of the air can influence, can drive me if I'm not born again. I'm talking about the children of disobedience, people who don't know Jesus. And it drives and it controls and it has power over. You're a slave to it when you don't know the Lord. But like Paul said, who will deliver me? Praise God. You know, Jesus Christ has. And I'm thankful. Praise God for that. All right. So the spirit is Satan himself, his demons, the Antichrist spirit, the one that we read in Ephesians 2. He rebelled against God and he was cast out of heaven and began to seek to destroy God's creation, starting with Adam and Eve. Adam sinned and sin entered to all his descendants. Influence and control, just like we read above. And I'm kind of repeating myself, so let me just skip over that. The free gift, and that's what we're going to look at in a minute, but back where we read about the disobedience coming by one man, sin entering by one man, the free gift came, and grace reigned through righteousness. So that's back, where was that? Was it Romans, or was it? Yeah, in Romans chapter 5. We don't have to look back there right now, but it talks of Jesus. We read it. He brought in the free gift of righteousness. And then we have a new man. So through salvation, we have a new man. Lee mentions it a lot. Sometimes we're schizophrenic. We've got multiple personalities, basically. We have a new man when we're born again and redeemed. But because I am still in this body, I still have this flesh, I still have to deal with the old man. And I'll get to something in a minute that we have to do. But the old man has to be crucified. You know, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. So our old man's not to keep living. By the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of salvation, he is crucified. Paul said, I am crucified. My old man is crucified with Christ. So that the body of sin can be destroyed. We're going to look at that. The old man had to be crucified so the body of sin, that nature that came to us, would be destroyed. The word destroyed there, render idle. Think about what it would mean if the body of sin was rendered idle in your life. Okay? That means it really couldn't work. It would just be useless and sitting there with nothing to do. You know, I wish I didn't give it something to do sometimes. Unemployed, That means to destroyed. When the old, the body of sin would be destroyed, it means unemployed, inactive, inoperative, caused to cease, be severed from, terminate all intercourse with. We would no longer have to serve sin. That's what we have in Christ. We are crucified with him. That's what's crucified, that old man, that old sinful nature. Let's look at, Romans. We all go to Colossians 2:10. I'm just going to read Romans 6:6 really quick, because I'm sure you've heard this one quoted in many times. But Romans 6:6 says, "Knowing this, our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we should henceforth not serve sin." That's Romans 6:6. Man had no choice before. He had to serve sin. His body of sin, that sin principle was in him, and it was not destroyed. But when we come to Christ, we're crucified, and that body of sin is destroyed. All right, so come to something very important. Well, let's look at Colossians, 2, 10 through 15. Verse 10, "You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised." We know what circumcision is, right? It's the cutting off of the flesh. Think about it a minute. "You are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands," like not done by the priest to the babies, that you know, "but in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, when he was bruised for our iniquities, when he was crucified on that cross, I was crucified with him, and he circumcises me." He cuts off the body of sin. He separates. It's like if you could get a picture of it somehow, I don't know, that sin is cut off of me. It's not part of me anymore. It's not. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. I'm not talking about perfection. We'll never be that until we see Jesus, but let's go on. We'll see what we're talking about. "Buried with him in baptism," verse 12, "wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God." God is operating in me. All right? It's not my works. It's not my abilities. It's him operating in me who has raised him from the dead. "And you being dead in your sins," this is what we've been talking about, "and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together, brought you to life with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out handwriting of ordinances that were against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way." Talking about the law, nailing it to the cross. "And he spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly." That spoiled, that word means to disarm, to disarm, to take the power away from. All right, and I love that thought that he could just wholly strip off the power of the principalities. Remember we were. The prince of the power of the air, the spirit worked in us before, and now he's disarmed. He can't. Through what Jesus has done and my crucifixion with him and my salvation, he is not able to work. Man must be born again to inherit eternal life, to step into this new relationship with God. All right, so look, this is really important in Romans 6, so we're going back there, making you jump around a little bit. And I don't have much more to say before we actually start studying. But this, I love this thought, because, you know, we'll say, okay, I don't feel like my body of sin's been cut off, you know, when I just gossiped, or when I just fell into that fear and doubt again, or when I just had that accusation in my mind about somebody, or when I just ate too many brownies, or when I just had hate in my heart. I don't feel like the body of sin has been cut off. I have to, by faith, know that the body of sin has been cut off. But what I have to do next is verse 11. And I just love this. "Likewise, reckon you also yourselves," this is 6:11, "to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." I love the word reckon, and it's an accounting term. Danielle might can help us on that, but it's, you know, you count it. Like, there's an example in the actual definition of the word reckon. It says it's a fact, it's not a supposition. Like, I reckon I'm gonna go eat supper, you know, it's not like that reckon. It's an accounting term that means if it's there, you have it. If it says $25 in my banking account, it's in my banking account. You know, so I can, it's a for sure fact. So I have to do that with my salvation, with my freedom from sin. I have to reckon. I have to say, no, okay, maybe it doesn't look like it right now. Maybe I don't feel like it right now because of my failure here, but I am dead to sin, and it's not alive in me anymore because Jesus said he took it, and he crucified it to the cross, and he cut it away from me, and I am not living in that any longer. Because there's a lot of people, and a lot I have too, like we sin, we fail, and we go, oh, how could I do this? I'm supposed to be born again. Or we look at somebody else and say, how could they do that? They're supposed to be a Christian. We're still dragging this body of sin around, and sometimes we give into it. But we have a choice. We don't have to give into it. Thankfully, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we don't have to. But I have to reckon myself as alive to God and dead to sin. Sin doesn't have an effect on me. Sin doesn't have a place in my heart and my life. And I need to fight it like that. I need to even tell the enemy when he comes to accuse me, you know, I don't have this body of sin anymore. Jesus took it. He cut it away. It's crucified and buried. And I have a new life. All that is scripture. All that is just what the Bible tells us. But to put it into practice in our lives every day so that we can recognize. I think that when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, that was one of the first things that was very clear to me, is that difference between what was me and what was, you know, my flesh and what was God's Spirit. And I knew, like, he just would show me, Carla, you're in sin. Carla, that's sin. Carla, that, you know, and the conviction would come. And I would repent and ask God, forgive me. But, you know, just that reality is what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. He wants to keep us where we can see and where we can know, where I can keep saying that I have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus the righteous, and I can say, you know, forgive me, Lord. Thank you that I am dead to sin. It doesn't have to have control on me. And sometimes we make excuses and give in, like, oh, well, this sin's just, you know, it's just going to always be this way. And someone was talking about that messenger of Satan that buffeted Paul. You know, it wasn't a sin. It was an attack of the enemy. It was something coming against him. I kind of think it was the Judaizers, but that's just my own personal opinion. Because they were always there bugging him and not, you know, tormenting him and sending him to prison and doing all kinds of things. But a sin is not our thorn, all right? A sin is a sin that we don't want to keep. I'm dead to that. I shouldn't even be living in that. That's not me anymore. So anyway, I'm talking too much. Okay. So this is what we're going to kind of look up, because along with creation, our bodies are still groaning to be clothed upon with incorruption. 1 Corinthians, I think, talks about that. I'm still in this body. Creation's groaning. We're all groaning. Our body is groaning. I can feel it right now, to be redeemed. You know, it's just we need the redemption of our bodies. When one day when we see him and we'll be changed and be like him in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, then we'll have that. This corruption will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. That talks about that. Death will be swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your sting? So that's what's coming for us. But our members, our arms, our legs, our, you know, feet, our thoughts, or what are still available to yield to God. That's our choice. We're to yield to God and his desires for us. Our natural man, this natural man, this body, is to yield to the Lord. And I want us to look up, I want to give you an example of what I want to do. Look up Colossians 3:5. Because I've given you three sets of scriptures. We might only get through two since I've talked so much. But Colossians 3:5. It's a verse I'm sure you've heard. It says, mortify means put to death. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And it goes on to mention, put away anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filth, lie not to one another, and put on the new man. And what I want you to do is, I've given you three sets of scriptures, and the first one is the actual scripture like this one. It tells you what we have to do. All right, we have to do this, mortify. But the problem that I've seen as a Christian, and as is that we take a scripture like this and we say, okay, I've got to do this. I've got to try to do this. I've got to put to death that desire to have a brownie. I've got to put to death. And we put a lot of condemnation on ourselves that because sometimes we just can't do that all the time. We fail sometimes. Or we feel like it's my works. You know, Paul spent a lot of time talking to the Galatians saying, why are you going back to works? You've been delivered. You're in grace now. Why are you going back to this? And we think, well, okay, and I've heard it. You got saved. Jesus saved you. Filled you with the Spirit. Now you got to do da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And yes, we are to live righteous lives. Yes, we're to live holy lives. Yes, I am to mortify my members. But what I want us to do when we see a scripture like this is look at the ones around it. So I've given you a context as well. So when you look at the scripture first that's telling us what we have to do, you write down what we have to do. That's the first thing it says. Write down what it tells you to do. I'm trying to find y'all's thing. What does each scripture give us direction to do? It might be several things, all right? And then look at the context. What has God provided for us to accomplish this? What work has He done to make this possible? Give as many answers as you find. So you might want to all just sit there and read it at one time and say, oh, I'll look at verse 6. It says this. Oh, I like 19. It says this, this, this. It's all the things in context of that command that God has done to make it possible for me to mortify. Okay? So like in Colossians, for example, there's a whole bunch of scriptures. But let's see. Look at chapter 2, verse 10 through 15. It says, you are complete in Him, Colossians 2. So this is my example. I'm trying, you know, that I'm showing you what you'll do. Now I'm going back to the context. You are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom we just read this. You're circumcised with a circumcision made without hands and putting off the body of sins of the flesh. Jesus did that for me already. He's done that for me. He put off the body of the sins of my flesh, and I'm buried with Him and I'm crucified with Him. And so we've read that already. I won't go through it. I'm sorry. And then chapter 3, right before what we said about to do, it says, if you're risen with Christ, I am. I was crucified with Him. I've risen to new life with Him. I am risen with Christ. And so Paul's saying, so if you are, this is what's going to come out of your life. This is what should be coming. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. My life is hid with Christ. So I can. Oh, it says, Christ who is our life shall appear, we shall appear with Him in glory. Because Christ is my life, because I am dead to sin and alive to God, I will be able to mortify. God can do this in me. God can help me with this. So it's like I'm not in my flesh, in my own strength, trying to do this. I've been buried with Him in baptism, and old man circumcised, dead to sin, and there's so much more in there, but those were just things I was picking out. I'm risen with Christ. I have a new life in me. I'm not subject to this old man anymore. And, you know, if we find ourselves like, Lord, help me, stay away from those sweets. I mean, I might really need to. It might be horrible for my health. You know, what if I'm diabetic and I want sweets all the time? Lord, help me, give me grace, give me strength. And y'all, I've done much worse than the sweets. I'm just not telling you what those things are. Okay? You might not see them. But anyway. So, God, this is not you, and this is not me. This is not my born again new man. Give me your grace. Give me your strength to put this to death. And I keep on walking and keep on letting Him do it in me. Till one day, He's going to do it in me. Michelle, I'm going to tell on you, but this was a long time ago, and Michelle has never been overweight, okay? But I remember one time you were like maybe a size 8 or whatever. But you talked about loving chocolate. Remember our Ireland trip and how much chocolate we bought on the Ireland trip? Like we went to a chocolate store and we're coming home. We had a bunch of ladies on this Ireland trip. But I remember you shared, we had a Bible study or something, sometime where you were just struggling with eating correctly and eating right and not, you know, and losing weight, but not just losing weight, just putting away all those desires and things. And you would put scriptures up to help you do it. You put them in your pantry, didn't you? Like put them
all over the kitchen.
All everywhere to help. Go ahead and tell us.
I really thought it would help me.
Yeah, you talk. Yeah.
And it was right around that time. It was really like mm-hmm. you're saying, you know, to do it by my own strength. Mm-hmm. And then when God delivered me, I did not help him. Like, I cannot explain that. And I know God did that for me for the future battles, that I would have to look back on that as just a landmarker and know, like, you didn't help me. God did this. And when I started walking in victory over that sin, like, people started asking me, what'd you do? Like, what's your diet? I'm like, nothing, God. And he got all the glory. Mm-hmm. He got all the glory because I didn't help him. And now I never give anybody diet advice. I walk, but I know the Lord will help
yeah.
me. That's when we started talking, really opening up the scriptures about grace. And it was God's grace.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And that's what it is. It's his grace. It's his work in our lives. And so that's what I want us to see, and the purpose of this next section that y'all are going to study now for a while is look at the scripture that tells us what to do, and then look at the context for all the ways God is doing it, you know, what he's given us to make it possible. Does that make sense? So, okay, I told you I changed the order. So the first one is Romans 6, 11 through. This is only for the teachers. Everybody else, if you picked up a piece of paper back there, you're good. But teachers, if you didn't get my little note, Romans 6, 11 through 13 is first. And the context, take it all the way through chapter 6, verse 23. Context 5:21 to 6:23. And then the second one I want y'all to do, since it's a different book, is Ephesians 4, 17 through 32. So number 3 on your paper, do it second. So if we don't have time, people can do Romans 8, 13 by themselves. All right. So let's get started. Thank you, ladies. Anybody have anything they want to share or say? Or I've enjoyed hearing bits and pieces of the discussions. What are some things that just the main things that you feel like it told us to do? These scriptures. The things that these scriptures told us to do. Make yourself dead, reckon. Yield your members, put off the old man, mortify the deeds of the flesh, all of it were to do. But it's all, looking at the context, it's only by his grace, by his spirit, by what he's already done in me. And I heard the comment, you know, and it was exactly right about it's his spirit dwelling in me. And I need to not be so cliche in that myself, but to really like meditate. What is the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is going to quicken my body to put to death the deeds of the flesh. So it's like, it's not me. It's not my own strength. It's the Holy Spirit in me. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It does. So, like, stop and think about it sometimes and let it blow your mind. Let it blow your mind. Let it get you excited about, and so that we'll call on the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to, you know, to mortify, to put to death, because he's already mortified it, put it to death. He's already done it. It's walking in. Then you probably came across scripture, just walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit. He's already done it. We have to just walk it out, you know, and he gives us the grace to do that. He gives us everything we need. So there's just a few things I wanted to wrap up with because of, I guess, things I hear, thought myself, you know, different things. Because you read some chapters like Romans 8, you know, and about a beautiful chapter about not being in condemnation, you know, when you walk after the flesh and not after the spirit. And so, like, okay, oh, did I walk after the flesh when I lost my temper? Or did I walk after the flesh when I thought, you know, did that thing? But it's not there. It's not talking like that. It's talking about the spirit and the flesh, or the law, the works. Because we know that because it says in Romans 8, 9 through 10, it says, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. If any man has not the spirit of Christ, you're none of his. So I don't belong to him if I don't have the spirit. But if I belong to him, I have the spirit. I am in the spirit. So it's not this like, oh, I'm here and I'm there and back and forth. No, I'm what Romans is talking about. And that's why it's so important in the context is that a born again person is in the spirit. Now, there's other times I might, the lust of my flesh, I might give. That's a different, it's talking about a different context and different things. But I love this scripture. It says, if the Spirit of God's in you, you belong to Christ. There's other scriptures that say that. Let me see. It says Galatians 4, 24 through 27. I'm just going to read it real quick. The law is our schoolmaster. And then it says, after faith has come, you're no longer under a schoolmaster. You are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We talked about verses where you have put on, put off, put on. If I've been baptized into Christ, and that's salvation. That's not talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Into Christ is salvation. If I've been born again, then I have put on Christ. You know, and put on means sink into and clothe myself. So it's something God's already done for me and in me that I just have to rest in and trust in and have faith in. Not that he's going to zap me with it. Faith is action. Faith without works is dead. I mean, when you put your faith in something, it's going to change your life. He's going to move you. The grace of God's going to influence you to do and to give you the power to do all that he asks us to do, all that he wants to do in us. And so, you know, there's people that worry about, am I lost? Am I saved? Was I saved yesterday and lost today? Am I in the flesh? Am I in the spirit? If I belong to Jesus, I am in the spirit. I'm in the spirit. Now, am I always being obedient to that? No, I'm not always living as I should live, but I'm in the spirit. My life is born again, but I can, it's like Lot. He put himself in a place where he was vexed day after day. Lee was just preaching on that. He was harassed. That's what it means. And sometimes we, even born again, even born of his spirit, a new man, can put myself in front of something that's going to harass me day after day. Now, some of us are in jobs and we might get harassed by the devil day after day. But I'm talking about choosing to put yourself in a place where your flesh is going to be weakened. Oh, no. Your flesh is going to be made strong. Your spirit's going to get weakened. Your own strength, your own spirit. So, like, we can vex our soul. He vexed his righteous soul day after day after day because he put himself in a place that made his flesh stronger. That old man stronger. He kept feeding that old man. And we don't have to do that. It says, sow to the spirit. It tells us to sow the spirit. Feed the spirit, not the flesh. There's scriptures that says, Galatians says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith you've been called, and don't give an occasion to the flesh. In other words, don't just provide. I mean, okay, the brownies is an easy example, but I sit a big old pan of brownies in here and just sit in front of it all day long. Well, you know what's going to happen is, but eventually they're all going to be gone if I have a long enough amount of time. I'm putting myself in a place where, that I am pulling up the old man. I'm giving him power. I'm giving him strength. Because he's still here. I'm still in this body. But so to encourage you that we want to feed our spirit. We want to feed the Holy Spirit with his word. With thinking the things that are good and true and just and good. Does that mean we can't watch a TV show? If it's going to feed my flesh, I don't want to watch it. But if it's going to just strengthen me and just going to... It's like there's things we do in our carnal, natural person. And I'm not talking about sinful carnal. There's two words for carnal. There's two words for all... I do. I might go watch a ball game with my son playing volleyball, you know, and I'm not feeding my flesh because I'm doing something that's earthly. It's not sinful. You understand the difference? Maybe there's just a difference. But I'm not going to go sit in a pornographic movie and think that I'm going to walk out stronger in the spirit. No, I'm not. It's gonna not God's spirit, but my own soul is going to be vexed like Lot's was. You know, just it'll make me weaker in my inner man. Remember the Paul prayed for the Christians in Ephesus that they'd be strengthened with might in their inner man. Well, if you can be strengthened in your inner man, you can also be just hindered in your inner man because of what you put yourself in front of all the time, day after day. But I love Philippians 2, 12 through 13 says it's God that works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I think we read of one of the scriptures that we came across was, we are his workmanship. He is working in us. And it's just letting him. Let that mind be in you. It's just allowing God to operate in your life and walking in what he's already given us. And just to close with this, this life is a life that's affected by and cooperates with the Holy Spirit of God who dwells in each believer. He dwells in me. So I could be in an LSU football game and the Holy Spirit speak to me. I mean, it doesn't mean that I'm doing something. It doesn't mean that I have to be in church for the Holy Spirit to speak to me. He's speaking to me, and he might show me, look how they're worshiping this idol of football, and I want you to worship me, you know. We could see God. I can be in the mountains and hiking, and I can be thinking about God and climbing up the you know, upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. I mean, I can be thinking spiritual things when my body is doing natural things around me every day. When you're at work and you're having to do things that are just natural, you're having to make phone calls, you're having to clean the house, whatever it is, because the Spirit of God's in me, I can fellowship with him all the time. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, because I'm in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. In other words, the completed work of Jesus and what he did. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Galatians 2:20, and I know it's very familiar to you. So, amen. Anybody want to add anything? Or?